Today is Thursday, the day we read from your letters. V.L. Fuller from Southern California wrote to us about our colleague Robert Siegel's story on the Yucubian Building, a controversial Egyptian novel that's being made into the Arab world's biggest budget movie. Robert Siegel's amazing story was something I found myself strongly relating to, writes Ms. Fuller. Here were interviews with honest artists and analysts, able to admit to the corruption of their government, the lack of impact of the press, the brutality of the police, and the apathy of the citizenry.
Stephen Spear of Boston, Massachusetts, had a different take, though, on our reporting from Egypt. I was shocked to discover that NPR had made itself an apologist for Egyptian authoritarianism, writes Mr. Spear. The constant theme, democratic reform in Egypt, depends on external factors, such as resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the turmoil in Iraq, and the like. Changes in external conditions, continues Mr. Spear, depend on reforming authoritarian regimes that foster nihilism on their borders in order to justify anti-democratic repression within their borders.
This past week, we remember Gene Scott, the flamboyant televangelist who died on Monday. We noted his stage charm and captivating eccentricities.
I was disgusted by the coverage of Gene Scott's death, writes Neil Wicker of KC, South Carolina. Scott was nothing but a huckster who used his power and knowledge of religion to deprive people of their hard-earned money. He enjoyed a lavish lifestyle by scamming gullible people, and all I've heard in the media are glowing reviews of his charm and style.
Our half-hour-long performance chat with the eclectic Canadian folk band, The Ducks, resulted in an equally eclectic mailbag. Once again, all things considered comes through, writes Rob Skibinski of Crown Point, Indiana. I happened to catch the story on The Ducks, your in-depth interview with the members of this group, and the opportunity to hear them was the highlight of my day. I'm running out to buy their CD.
Are you serious? Wrote Diane Gurian of Kearsarge, New Hampshire. On the day when President Bush is visiting Europe, when Syria's presence in Lebanon is threatened, when North Korea and Iran are still deeply troubling issues, you are devoting a full 25% of your programming to an obscure musical group from Western Canada? Are you kidding?
Andrew Carey of Newtown, Connecticut, had a different objection. Why are you covering this not particularly distinguished band, writes Mr. Carey. Do you realize that you are perpetuating the marginalization of traditional music when you fawn over these fools and ignore real traditional artists, as you typically do?
Last week, in our coverage of the Westminster Dog Show in New York, I suggested that Coco, a feisty Norfolk Terrier and a recent mom, was robbed of the Best in Show title by the German short-haired pointer Carly. A suggestion that raised the hackles of listener Natalie Cozon, self-described avid and discerning canine lover, who says she's seen more than enough of Terrier Coco in dog shows over the years.
Miss Cozon writes, Carly, the German short-haired pointer, will hopefully propel the judges to a new standard and break free from the tyranny once held by Coco. May she forever enjoy the life of a working mother.
Well, whether it's Best of Show or the Worst of Our Show, please write. You can send your emails to atc@npr.org. And don't forget to tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.